Good evening, everybody. So two questions for this week. One question I got from a fellow who was scheduled to get the COVID vaccine. Talking about COVID, was scheduled to get the COVID vaccine this week. He's someone who he qualifies. He's a teacher, so he qualifies. And he's someone who had COVID already, and he has antibodies. But the doctors are saying you should get the vaccine anyway. And he absolutely plans on getting the vaccine. And then he got a frantic call from his mother. And his mother said, "You cannot get the vaccine." And he said, "Why not?" So she said, "Well, my friend told me that her son had COVID and got the vaccine, and he got really sick for a few days after it, because people who've had COVID are having a much worse reaction and they're getting really sick. It's not worth it. Don't get the vaccine." And that was the first thing she heard. "And your grandparents, who are now in their 90s, they got the vaccine. And both of them felt something." I don't know what it was. They felt they didn't get sick from the vaccine, but they felt something, some tingling in their throat or something. I don't know. So it must be that genetically we're allergic to this vaccine. So you absolutely cannot get the vaccine. So he had the discipline not to say to his mother, "That's insane," but he wants to know if he has a direct tzivoy from his mother that he may not get the vaccine. And, you know, he has antibodies, so he's not unprotected. So the shaila is, does he have to listen to his mother? So that is shaila number one. Shaila number two is really, we'll say two and three, because I'm going to say two shailas, and they both relate to the same sugya. One is an email I got a few weeks ago, and the other is a text I got this week. So the email I got a few weeks ago reads as follows. I am making none of this up. This is a direct quote of the email. It says, "Hi Rebbe, I have a halachic shaila that I would guess Rebbe has faced personally. It is a matter of life and death. My son recently got a saltwater fish tank. We have a number of fish, including two clownfish like Nemo. The larger one has taken to bullying the smaller one, literally stuffing it in a corner behind the heater and preventing it from eating. I expect the stress and starvation are going to kill it prematurely. On the one hand, this is the natural rule of the jungle, so I don't want to intervene. On the other hand, this bully fish is clearly a fish rodafe. Side note, its behavior is very disturbing to my kids, who know that this is not how a Jewish fish should behave. We don't want to flush the bully fish alive or kill it, but can we throw it into the Jamaica Bay Inlet on Branch Boulevard and be done with it? I assume it won't survive there very long. What are the halachic elements involved? Thank you." Now that's Shaila 2. Shaila 3 was, I got a text or a voice note from a Rav this week, a Rav in a different city, and he said that he didn't give much detail in terms of the identity of the yeshiva, but he said that there is a yeshiva in a certain city where the dormitory had a problem that there was a skunk apparently hanging around the dorm. So the fellows purchased a skunk trap, and now, just a short while later, they have trapped a skunk. They have a pet trapped skunk in the dorm. So they wanted to call animal control to take the trapped skunk, but the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't want them to call animal control because apparently the building that they caught the skunk in may not be a legal building. And he's worried that the illegality will be discovered if he calls a government agency to the building. So what should they do with the skunk, being that the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't want them to call animal control? So I said to the guy, "Tell them to ask the Rosh Yeshiva what they should do with the skunk. You know, if he doesn't want them calling animal control, let him." So the person who asked me the shaila said, no, the Rosh Yeshiva is the one that asked me the shaila. So the Rosh Yeshiva wants to know, he doesn't want to let them call animal control, so what should he tell them to do with the skunk? So that is shaila, we'll call it shaila 2. Those two shailas are shaila 2. So shaila 1, if mom doesn't want you to get the vaccine because she's convinced that your grandparents are allergic to it, do you listen to her? And shaila number two, these cases of the bullied fish or the trapped skunk, what does one do about such things? So let's do the vote over here. Let me just peek into the chat over here. Oh, someone three. So three is two. That's the same one. Okay, so it looks like, so it looks like it's a pretty clear winner. So we're going to do shaila number two. Just for those who are interested in shaila number one, who voted for shaila number one? Okay, so Henry and the Fine's iPhone, the for shaila number one, the Rav Asher Weiss just wrote a tshuva on exactly this topic, so that was very exciting for me. I did not send him the shaila, but he wrote a tshuva on exactly this topic. So just to give you the basic bottom line is he said kibud avim does not govern your personal behaviors and your personal life. That has nothing to do with your meaning. If it's something that has nothing to do with your parents, that's simply a ratzon hatorah issue. And when it comes to a ratzon hatorah issue, hakol lefia inyan, you have to assess every situation differently. It's not a formal chiyuv, and therefore you should get the vaccine, but do not tell your mother that you got the vaccine. Right? That's what he said. And not everything has to be told, but he did say that that certainly in that case he thinks you should actually get the vaccine. Okay, so I could tell you I got the first dosage of the vaccine on Sunday, and I did have a pretty strong negative reaction to it for like 36 hours. I was pretty sick, and people told me that, yeah, people with antibodies, a lot of my physician friends were telling me that their experience is that people with antibodies, for whatever reason, are getting much sicker from the vaccine than, we're having, I shouldn't say sick, but getting much, having a much more negative side effects from the vaccine than people without antibodies. So, no, but they still said, yeah, I should get it, so I got it. So that's why I saw there was a story in the New York Times this week where there is some new research that suggests that maybe people who've had the virus only need one dose, that they don't need two doses. So I immediately forwarded that to a doctor friend of mine who I asked Gates from. I said, is this true? He said, no, that's like such it's so early stage research, and it's probably never even going to be published. It's not, you can't rely on the New York Times for your medical advice. There's very little other advice you can rely on the New York Times for either. But the so that's shaila number one. Okay, so let's go to the shaila that we voted for. What do we do about the skunk and the bullied fish? So a little bit of background is important over here. Really a lot of background, meaning the sugya is clearly the sugya of Tsar Bali Chaim, meaning what do you do? Meaning that their question about the skunk was, should they just leave it in the box and ultimately it will starve and it will die, and then they'll put it in a garbage bag and they'll throw it out. They'll just throw out the trap with the skunk in it after a while, once the skunk dies. Or should they do something else? Meaning, can you not do that? Can you not let the skunk die just because the reshiva doesn't want animal control coming to the building? What would animal control do with the skunk? So, I don't know. I don't know what they would do. Maybe they'd let it go in the wild somewhere? Maybe. But I don't know. Not sure that that's what they would do with it. So, so that's the shaila. So in order to answer, we need to understand a little bit about the Isra of Tsar Bali Chaim. So Tsar Bali Chaim probably appears in the Torah. We'll see soon that it's a machlokas, whether it's Doraisa Drabanan. The Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, so we're a week early on this, that Kitira Chamor Sanacha Rovetz Tachas Masa'o V'chaldatum Yazov Lo Azov Tazov Imo, which is the mitzvah of Prika that appears in Parshas Mishpatim. And then in Parshas Kiseitze, it says Kisira Chamor Chicho Shoru Noflim Baderech V'salamta Mehem Hakim Takim Imo. And that's the mitzvah of ti'ina. So there's a mitzvah to help load and unload an animal. So in the context of discussing those mitzvos, oev lifrok, sonei liton, the Gemara talks about what if you have two people that both need help, one of them needs help loading, the other one needs help unloading. So in the context of discussing that, the Gemara tells us that unloading normally you would think should come first, unloading an animal, because the animal is never suffering under the burden, and that's an inyan of Tsar Bali Chaim, right? So that's the context within which the Gemara discusses Tsar Bali Chaim, in the context of the mitzvahs of Prika and Ti'ina. So the Gemara, Meseches B'Metzia, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, going over to Lamed Beis Amud Beis, tells us, Amar Rava, Mi Divrei Shneim Nilma, De Tsar Bali Chaim Do Raisa. That you see Tsar Bali Chaim Do Raisa. And then that sugya goes through the entire Lamed Beis Amud Beis onto Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, back and forth, Sarba L'chaim Daraisa or Derabanan, and it's a machlokas Tanoim, apparently it's a machlokas Amoraim, whether Sarba L'chaim is an Issa Daraisa or it's an Issa Derabanan, but it's certainly an Issa of some sort. Where does it come from? So it may come from there. Another possible source other than Priko Te'ina, where it may come from, is that the Pasuk by Bilam, the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, Vayomre Elav Malach Hashem, Al Mahi Kisa Es Ason Chazeh Shalosh Regalim. Why did you hit the animal three times? So the Medrash HaGadol in Perichav Beis over there says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Tzar Bel Chaim, Daraisa, Dechsev, Almai Kisa, Sasoncha. And not only that, that's the source quoted by the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim for Tzar Bel Chaim, that it's based on, you know, the understanding that you're not supposed to beat up your animal, you're not supposed to hit the animal. Someone put in the chat, why is this only an issue of Tzar Bel Chaim? It also sounds like an issue of whether you're allowed to make any report to the authorities that will result in an inyan being moser. And what do you do when a Rebbe or Rav requests something that may be against the law? So I don't know, is it against the law to not call animal control? Is it, are you legally obligated to call animal control? I'm not sure about that. Are you allowed to call animal control against the Rebbe's wishes? That's an interesting question also. Meaning, I don't want to hurt this animal, I don't want to do anything to this animal, and I don't know how to handle these animals. So why should I be the one to be stuck with it? Maybe I could tell... So the truth is, if it was the Talmidim that was that were asking the question, I would say that the Talmidim should probably tell the Rosh Shiva, we won't call animal control if you take it. You take care of it. Figure out something to do. But it is the Rosh Yeshiva that's asking the question. So the Rosh Yeshiva apparently is willing to take that on. He's willing to handle it. He's willing to... So he's the one that's asking the question. So... Okay, so the two potential sources right off the bat for Tzar Bel Chaim are the possibility that it's from Bilam or the possibility from the mitzvah of Prika. So now the Rav Asher Weiss, and probably his most famous piece in Minchas Asher, in Minchas Asher al Torah in Dvarim Simen Nun Aleph, he has a piece called Ratzon HaTorah, and that piece is one of the foundational ideas of all of Rav Asher Weiss's Torah. He goes back to this well a lot to explain many different inyanim in Torah. The concept that was really developed by Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovetz Shiurim of Ratzon HaTorah, that sometimes the Torah doesn't say something in so many words, b'derech tzivoy, or even through the midos shatorah and dreshes ben, but the Torah gives us enough of a hint that this is something that matters to the Torah, and that itself generates a din d'oraisa. And Rav Asher Weiss says, and what's the best example of something that's Ratzon HaTorah, and yet we call it a din d'oraisa? He says, Tzar Bel Chaim. How do I know Tzar Bel Chaim is an inyan of Ratzon HaTorah? He says, because how many shitos are there of where Tzar Bel Chaim comes from in the Torah? You have the two that we just mentioned, right? And then you have a shitim gebetzin b'metzia that says it's based on lo sachsum shor b'disho, not to muzzle the animal while it's working. You have a shitim gebetzis in the name of the Ritva in Mesechus b'metzia that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that there's no allusion to it in the Torah at all. You have a sefer acharedim perik yadal that it's based on v'alachto b'drachav, mahu afata, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rachum v'chanun, etc. You have to be kind and merciful as well. You have a sefer yom trua in Rosh Hashanah daf chav zayin that says that it's based on v'dibarta alaselav otzesele mayim v'yishkisa seidav esmiram, that what does the Torah say when Moshe Rabbeinu was told to speak to the rock and not to hit the rock? So he speaks to the... What was the purpose of speaking to the rock? Speak to the rock so that water will come out, and no one ever pays attention to the end of the pasuk. And what are you going to do with that water? And you'll give water for people and the animals to drink. Why is it highlighting for the animals to drink? Says the Sefer Yom Teruah, because you have to give the animals to drink. Otherwise, it would be Tzar Bel Chaim. Or the Chuvus Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, Chelek Aleph, Siman Zayin, based on the Drasha of Chazalav and Brachos Dav Mem, that you have to feed your animals before you eat yourself. Tzar Bel Chaim. That's why you have to feed your animal before you yourself eat. Or the Chassam Sofer in his Agos on Shas and Bab Metzia and Davlam Bez over there, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Tov Hashem Lakol V'Rachem Aval Kol Ma'asov, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is good and merciful to Kol Ma'asov. So you have all of these sources that indicate Tzar Bel Chaim, and says Rav Asher Weiss, I'll tell you three more indications that the Ratzon HaTorah is for animals not to suffer, even if it's not an indication of Tzar Bel Chaim per se. The Mor Nevuchim writes that the Rambam Mor Nevuchim writes very clearly, the Ramban disagrees in his commentary on the Torah, but the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is because of Midas HaRachmanus. That, I mean, seems to be against the Gemara, but, you know, in the Mishnah, it says you're not supposed to say Al Kan Sibur Yagiu Rachmecha, but the Rambam says the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is about the Midah of Rachmanus. So clearly that's another indication of Ratzon HaTorah is that animals shouldn't suffer. Tosfos Megillah Daf Chaf Hei says that the reason those Sishchetu Biyomechad, that you're not supposed to Shecht Osov Espino Biyomechad, is also based on the Rachamei Akel, is based on Rachamim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, or Los Sachros B'Shor V'Chamor Yachtav. So says Rav Asher Weiss, you tally it all up. There are 11 different places that the Torah either tells you something that could be interpreted as Tzar Balei Chaim, or at least interpreted as that Hashem really cares that animals shouldn't suffer. When you put all that together, you get a Din D'Oraisa. So Tzar Balei Chaim becomes a Din D'Oraisa. And by the way, this is the strand that connects our two Shailas tonight, the Shaila about the Kibbutz Aveim and the Tzar Balei Chaim, because Rav Asher Weiss claims that the inyan of Kibbutz Aveim to get your parents what to eat, what to drink, to help them get dressed and everything, that's the straight chiyuv, that's the clear chiyuv min haTorah, that's ezehu kibud. But to do what makes them happy, just tam, because it makes them happy that you live your life a certain way, even though it's serving no, you're not servicing them at all, that's ratzon haTorah. So Rav Asher Weiss goes to ratzon haTorah on that inyan as well. So we see this idea of ratzon haTorah. Now the Gemara in Shabbos Tav Kuf Chav Ches and Beis, even though it's a whole machlokas in Bar Metzia, Gemara in Shabbos seems to assume that Tzar Bel Chaim is Doraisa. Because Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Rav Rav Yom Rav, Behema Shinof Olamas Hamayim, maybe Karmuk Sassos, Umaniach Tachteha Vimalsa Olsa. That if an animal fell into a ditch with water, you could put some cushions underneath it so it can climb out, and that's fine. So I asked the Gemara, Meisvei, Behema Shinof Olamas Hamayim, Olsa L'Parnasa V'Mekoma, Bishril Shalotamos. I thought you're just supposed to throw some food down there for it so it doesn't die. Parnasa in Karmuk Sassos Lo. Apparently you're not supposed to put cushions under it so that the animal can get out, says Marlo Kasha. Had the efshar b'parnasa, had the efshar b'parnasa. If you can get away with throwing some food down, do that. If you can't, because the animal's not going to catch the food, it's not going to work. The only way to save the animal is by putting caramel cessels down so the animal will climb out. Then you do that. So efshar b'parnasa in v'ilo, maybe caramel cessels maniach tachta. Asks the Gemara, but wait a second, is that so simple that you're allowed to put cushions, pillows, sheets, whatever, down in order for the animal to climb out? Aren't you taking what was perfectly usable kli on Shabbos, and are you making it unusable, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos? We're working with the assumption that Mevatel Kli Meichan is only Nisid Rabbanon, Tzar Balei Chaim is Nisid Daraisa, Vasi Daraisa V'dochi Drabbanon. And the Daraisa of Tzar Balei Chaim is going to be Dochi Drabbanon of Mevatel Kli Meichan. Wow, so that's pretty explicit that Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa according to the Stam of the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches. Now, how do we paskin? And this is going to be critical because we're going to have to get into the Nafkaminas, and then, you know what, let's do the Nafkaminas first, and then we'll see why it's so critical to understand how we paskin. What are the nafkaminas, whether it's d'orais or d'rabanan? So nafkamina number one is the Minchas Chinuch writes in mitzvah, actually that would be nafkamina number two. Let's go, the simplest nafkamina, the most straightforward nafkamina is the one that the Gemara said. The Gemara said, wait a second, why are you allowed to put karmic sussels down on the bottom of the pit where the animal is stuck so that the animal will get out? It's mevatel kli meichanu, and the Gemara said, because Tzar Balei Chaim is d'orais, so you're allowed to do that. A clear implication, if Tzar Balei Chaim were Drabanan, you would not be allowed to do it, right? So nafkamina number one is, can you save an animal by putting karmic sussels down? Can you be mevatel kli meichanu in the interest of Tzar Balei Chaim? If it's d'oraisa, so then yes, then you're allowed to violate this Drabanan in the interest of Tzar Balei Chaim. If it's Drabanan, then no, you're not allowed to. So that would be a clear nafkamina. Minchas Chinuch has a more creative nafkamina, mitzvah pei, in Os Yud, Minchas Chinuch writes that maybe if Tzar Balei Chaim is d'oraisa, then it's a din in the Bal Chai. If Tzar Balei Chaim is Drabbanan, it's a din in you. He doesn't say it exactly like that, but that's why I'm saying it. Meaning, you're not allowed to do something that will hurt an animal. That's if Tzar Balei Chaim were Drabbanan. That Drabbanan are making a din in you, similar to the Nesivus and Reish Lamedal, where the Nesivus says, all Yisurim Drabbanan are Yisuri Gavra, all Yisur Daraisa are Yisuri Chafsa. If Tzar Balei Chaim is Daraisa, it means the Torah doesn't want the animal to suffer. That means if you didn't do anything to make the animal suffer, it's just suffering, then you have to do what you can to prevent that suffering, to stop that suffering. But if Tzar Balei Chaim is Drabbanan, then you don't have to go around the world stopping animal suffering. you're just not allowed to cause animal suffering. It's a din in you, that you can't cause animal suffering. So what if it's happening on its own? What if Nemo is beating up its fish friend in the corner of the tank? You didn't ask for a bully fish. You didn't. You just bought a few clownfish, and this is the way they behave. This does happen, in fact, all the time in my fish tank. You know, one fish will bully the other. Eventually, they'll die, but then it will be food for the chilazons, and that's what the whole fish tank is there for anyway. It's only there for the chilazons, so that's perfectly fine. The chilazons enjoy some fresh fish, but that's they don't kill the fish, but once a fish is dead, they'll enjoy it. So that's nafkamina number two. That's minchas chinuch nafkamina. It's not muchrach that necessarily is a nafkamina, but that's what he suggests is a nafkamina. And then the classic nafkamina, whenever you have a question, is something d'oraisa or something d'rabanan, what's the nafkamina? What do we do b'makom safek? So if you could come up with some sfekos in the halachos of Tzar Bale Chaim, so now whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabanan is going to make a difference. What kinds of sfekos are there? So there is actually a sefer, not surprisingly, there's a sefer called Sefer Tzar Bale Chaim, a whole sefer about Tzar Bale Chaim. So in Sefer Tzar Bale Chaim, in Perek Aleph, he says, you know, there's a machlokas with the Tzar Bale Chaim applies to humans. So maybe whether you're allowed to cause Tzar Bale Chaim to a human is a safek, because it's a machlokas aposkim. So therefore, if you have a safek Tzar Bale Chaim, if it's a din d'oraisa, you'd have to be machmir in Tzar Bale Chaim of humans. If it's din d'rabban, you wouldn't have to be machmir. What? Tzar Bale Chaim of humans? Don't call it Tzar Bale Chaim. Call it V'Avta L'Reacha Kamocha. Call it not being, call it all of Ben Adam L'Chaveru. I mean, there are definitely Yisurim in causing other people to suffer, whether it's Chavala or whatever the cause is to suffer. You can't watch someone else suffer, Lo Saman Al Dam Reacha. You know, whatever the Yisurim are, there are plenty of Yisurim. You don't need Tzar Bale Chaim. I did not like that one at all. But then there's another one that he suggests. And he says, you know, there is a machlokas whether killing an animal is tzar bale chayim. That's a machlokas aposkim also, is killing an animal tzar bale chayim. So if it's a machlokas aposkim whether killing is called tzar bale chayim, so l'chora, if tzar bale chayim is d'oraisa, then you need to be machmir on the issue of killing an animal. If tzar bale chayim is d'rabanan, then you don't need to be machmir on the issue of killing, of killing an animal. And this case might be relevant for the skunk, right? Meaning if tzar bale chayim is d'oraisa, so then killing the animal might be a problem. So if the solution to your Tzar Bale Chaim problem of starving it is just feed it some poison and let it die that way, let it, you know, kill it that way, or take a BB gun or something, kill it however you would kill an animal. I don't know. When we used to catch mice in yeshiva, we were told to drown them in the toilet bowl. So that's what we did. So that's, you would kill it, be a dime, you do something like that. So if Tzar Bale Chaim is d'oraisa, you didn't really save yourself a problem because you're doing that tzar. But if Tzar Bale Chaim is d'rabanan, so maybe you would say killing an animal is, you could be mekel, that it's not Tzar Bale Chaim. I just think that nafkamina is also not really nafkamina, because not every time you have a machlokas is it a safek. Meaning, it could be that you're going to look at this machlokas, whether or not killing an animal is Tzar Bale Chaim, and assess that Pashtus is like the Nodi B'Yuda writes, like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that killing an animal is not Tzar Bale Chaim, that it's a separate inyan. Killing an Tzar Bale Chaim is causing pain. Killing is not Tzar Bale Chaim. And you don't have to call it a suffix. You're allowed to paskin. You're allowed to say that. You hold the killing is not Tzar Bale Chaim. So it has nothing to do with Tzar Raisa D'Rabbanan. Meaning it's only when there's a legitimate suffix. But if you feel that you know how to paskin the Shaila, Ned Behuda has a famous tshuva in Madura Tinyana Simin Yud about hunting. Someone asked him if you're allowed to go hunting, if a Jew is allowed to hunt. I've actually been asked the Shaila. Someone in my shul, he works in the banking industry, and he had a client in Texas, and so when the client comes to New York, you take him to a steakhouse, you know, whatever, you go out for dinner or something. When you go to Texas, you know, you put on your fatigues, and they give you a gun, and you go hunting together. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to go hunting. I said, the chance that you're going to kill anything, you know, are like so slim on your first time, like I'm not so worried about it, but are you allowed to go? So the writes in that tshuva that it's not Tzar Bale Chaim. He says, "Avalahamis behemos v'chayus v'chol mini be'alchayim less ve'mishum tzar b'alchayim." And he has a raya from Gemara Chulin Daf Zayinim Beis. So whatever it is, so he says it has nothing to do with tzar b'alchayim. Killing is not tzar b'alchayim. In fact, Chaznish is quoted saying that if you see a fly suffering, you should dafka kill it. Meaning, if an animal is suffering, you should kill it. In that Sefer Tzar b'alchayim in Perek Dalet, he says that it must be Chaznish was only talking about tiny animals like a fly. But to kill like a real animal, be a daim, can't be that Chaznish would say it's better to do that than to let it suffer. I don't know, why not? I would think that the same is true, that killing it is to save it from its misery. That's what they do with animals all the time. When people become veterinarians, so what do? They spay, they neuter, and they kill, right? Meaning that's, they heal a little bit, but mostly it's spaying and neutering animals, and when the animal is holding by the end, they put it out of its misery, they give it a mercy killing, which we don't hold up for human beings, obviously, but for animals, that's a pretty normal thing to do, to not allow them to suffer anymore. So, given that these are the nafkaminas, how do we paskin la halacha? So the Rif and the Rush both paskin the tzar b'alechayim is daraisa. Nimukei Yosef b'Metzia says it depends. It depends whether it's a tzar gadol or tzar kata. Not all tzar is created equal. Sometimes you have a tzar that's like a significant amount of tzar. So a tzar gadol is daraisa, but a tzar katan is not going to be daraisa. And he brings a raya from Beitza Daf Lamed Zayin that also of us know that fall into a bar, you're not allowed to be malit from the bar. You make parnasa b'makomo. Why? Because it's not such a big tzar if it's stuck in a bar and has parnasa b'makomo. It has what to eat where it is. There's a stira between two passages in the Mordechai. The Mordechai in Avodah Zarah says that tzar b'alechayim is rabbanan, and b'metzia he says it's daraisa. So the Chiddush Yad Shashem says he's saying the same as the Mukei Yosef, that it depends whether it's tzar gadol or tzar katan. However, the Maram Shik suggests that no, when there's a chashash takala for the person, like in the sugi in Avodah Zarah, the case was that you were makdish an animal nowadays. So now you have this hektish animal. So what do you do with it? You can't do anything with it. So the Gemara says, "You know al delis befaneha v'yimesa me'aleha." You lock it up, don't feed it, and let it die. And that's tzar b'alechayim. Why are you allowed to do such a tzar b'alechayim? Because it's l'tzorech ha'adam. And whenever something is l'tzorech ha'adam, then it's not going to be an issue of tzar b'alechayim. And this brings us back to the answers to our questions. So what do you do? In the fish case, I was very intrigued that the fellow said, "Should I take the bully fish and throw it into the pond?" Why the bully fish? Why not take the other fish out of the tank? The one that's suffering, take it out of the tank. The bully fish isn't suffering. So I understand where he was coming from. He was saying, because he's being a bully. You need to punish a bully. He's a fish. A fish is not being a bully. It doesn't have a chir chafshis. That's just the way Hashem made it. So you leave the fish that's not suffering, you leave alone. If anything, you want to kill the fish that is suffering. So that you're allowed to do. You can go and kill the fish that is suffering. You could flush it down the toilet if you want. He said it's a rodef. Yeah, you don't need to be chir to be a rodef. I don't think there's a dinner rodef by by fish. Now in the skunk case, it will likely be released by animal control, I assume. Did anyone look that up while I was talking, what animal control does with skunks? It might be released by animal control, if you were to call it, in a place that it can live. If you don't know how to do that safely yourself, then it's probably better to kill it than to let it starve, because many poskim hold that killing is not tzar b'alechayim. In fact, Rav Moshe was asked about killing dvarim hamu'usim umima'asim es ha'ochlin, things that, you know, that are disgusting to have around the house or can make all your food disgusting. There's nothing more disgusting than a skunk, I would think. He talks about bugs and mice that destroy food. So he says, and especially if there are people around that are going to be scared, they're going to be afraid, it's going to frighten the people. So he says, whenever there's a tzarecha adam, leka iser tzar b'alechayim. There's no iser of tzar b'alechayim. Tayitira torah shchita, b'la rak lachil yisrael, af lachil yisnachrim, mutu lishchot. You know, you're allowed to shecht an animal even to feed a nachri, even lekavod yadam b'alma, even if it's just to give a person extra kavod, we ignore tzar b'alechayim. Like a zakin venil fi kvodo, is not mechuyiv in the mitzvah of prika, because it's the dignity of the person overrides. Even minor issues of dignity of a person will override tzar b'alechayim. Rav Moshe does say, though, when killing a bug, don't do it with your bare hands. He says that he thinks, efshar tov shelo yahargim biyadav mamish el yedei hanachas davar hahorgam. Put something there that will kill them. He says, because after all, there is a certain achzorius that a person develops in themselves when they're doing things like this directly. So to actually directly kill an animal, that will promote the midah of achzorius. I would argue that even knowing that you're leaving an animal starving is probably going to promote the midah of achzorius. It's probably best to just feed it some poison. I don't know how you do that safely with a skunk. You don't want to get too close. You can go online. There are videos of how to approach a skunk and, you know, hold plastic over you and the skunk doesn't have a lot of vision and you just... Okay, whatever, you can go search it online like I did, but I still wouldn't try it. I'm not confident enough after my 4-minute YouTube tutorial on double speed, so 2-minute YouTube tutorial that I know how to actually do it. But nevertheless, I would think that much better to kill the animal than to let the animal just suffer, even though it's b'shevi al tasa to let it suffer, whereas killing it is doing it b'yadayim. That was the minchas chinuch snafkamina, whether it's daraisa draban, but we pass against daraisa. So b'shevi al tasa would also be asa. So do that which causes the animal to suffer less. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you so much for coming out to learn together this evening.
Thank you. Good night.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.